Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
Grab your Bibles and turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. After the service, we're having water baptism. We're having water baptism, and so some of you are getting baptized today. We will have your children down here in the cafe. So if you drop your kids off at the top of the hill at the metal building, we will transport them down to the cafe so you don't have to walk up there. We'll bring them down to help us expedite so we can go right into baptism. So if you drop your kids off at the metal building and you go up there, they won't be there, but they will be safe in the cafe. So after the service, you can just go to the cafe, and we'll do a checkout in the cafe. Frank, would you bring me that box real quick? John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. If you got it, say, I got it. If you don't got it, say, give me some more time. John chapter 19, 28 through 30 says this, later knowing that everything had been finished and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I'm thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put it, the sponge, on a stalk of hyssop plant and lifted it. They're stretching it towards the top of the cross to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, say it with me, it is finished. Say it again, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head, breathed up, and gave up his spirit. It is finished. Father, I thank you. You have done the completed work through your son Jesus on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and purpose for us. We thank you, Jesus, that no matter where we go, you are among us, you are with us. And so, God, I pray the reality of the finished work of the cross would come alive to us in Jesus' name. It is finished. Jesus said one word that we translate into three words. It is finished. Tetelestai. It is finished. It is finished. That's a unique word. It's a unique word because it means the deal is complete. It is over. It's a done deal. And here are some examples of how a first century Greek speaker would use that word. A servant would say to his master, when the work was completed, it is finished. He would use that word. A priest who would examine the animal sacrifice to make sure the sacrifice was spotless and ready, he would use that word, it is finished. When an artist or a sculptor, I knew it was there somewhere. I know how to read and write and everything. We got running water to the house. A sculptor, when they're finished, they would say, it is finished. And maybe the most significant way that would be used, if a merchant, when you purchased something from them, the transaction was complete, they would say, it is finished. It is done. It is paid for. But the lamb who shed his blood, that blood in the Old Testament would cover sins, but Jesus' finished work wiped them out, took them away. Everybody said, it is finished. Easter reminds us that Jesus rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, if you're not getting baptized today, you're welcome to listen. But if you are getting baptized today, I'm talking to you. Number one, I want you to write some things down. Number one, Jesus cut the red tape. Now, some of you sculpturists would say, Pastor Tim, that tape looks a little bit orange. Well, last night about 9:30, it looked red. So, in your face. Jesus cut the red tape. When he said, it is finished, somebody grab that. Friend, grab that in, if you would. Stretch out this red tape. The red tape. Everybody say red tape. All right, that's good. The red, you know, the proverbial red tape, the thing that keeps you out, the block that keeps you at bay, the door that's closed, the inaccessible. Jesus, Jalen, yeah, would you grab this? Yes, sorry. Yep. Jesus cuts the red. When he said it is finished, here's what he did. Pull tight, guys. Pull tight. It is finished. He cut the red tape. Give the tape holders a hand. You can return your seat and keep that for a souvenir. He cut the red tape. Oh, now imagine you go to see the White House. Now, I know it depends on who the president is. Some of you love, some of you hate. Depends. We're at the White House, and we're together. And we want to see the people's house. We're in a long line. We got to go through security. They're checking the list, making it, you know, checking it twice, finding out who's naughty or nice. They want to make sure the right people come in and we keep the wrong people out, right? We don't want to troublemakers. And so you're waiting there. You got to go through the whole check, yada, yada, yada. And up comes the president. And he says, hey, Tim, how are you? And I said, sir, I'm doing good. He said, come with me. I said, what about security? He said, don't worry. When you're with me, you go right in. When Jesus said, it is finished, and breathed his last breath, he cut the red tape. Jesus didn't just open the door. He removed the entire system that was blocking you out. The Bible said, when he died, a veil in the Holy of Holies tore. It tore. Hebrews tells us this in chapter 10. Throw it up on the screen. It says this: we have confidence. Say that word with me. Say confidence. We have confidence. Mom, that's number one. She texted me the other week. Hey, really like the sermon. You only drink water 8 times. I know, she's counting, I don't know. Thanks, Mom. Got a little dry throat. That's one, you keep track, you can count with her. And just let me know how I'm doing. Hebrews 10 says this: we have confidence to enter into the most holy place. By what? Say it. The confidence doesn't come in our own work, it comes with the completed work because of the blood of Jesus. He gives us access. Do you know how powerful the blood of Jesus is? He gives us confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Unpack it. By a new and living way. Not the Old Testament dead sacrifice. A living way opened for us through the curtain. There was a barrier in the Old Testament that kept people out of the Holy of Holies, where the Holy Spirit would reside. Jesus tore that barrier, and now the curtain, and the author of Hebrews gives us further revelation, that curtain is his body. By the mercy of God, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was contained because the sacrificial system was temporary. And by the mercy of God, now the veil has been torn and there is full access through his body. Jesus cut the red tape. Therefore, I can have intimacy with him. If you're getting baptized today, you can be close to God. You can be close to him. I'm no longer on the outer courts. I'm on the inside because the King has given me access by the power of his what? Blood. I'm no longer on the outside, I'm on the inside. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit resided in restricted spaces. Not because he was restricted, because in his mercy, he contained himself to set a pattern for us. And all the prophecies, all the prophets, all the mysteries of God revealed in Christ Jesus. Now, not only do we have access, but He resides. So when you're born again, the Spirit takes up residency in you. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples?" Nudge your neighbor and say, "You're a temple." Nudge your other neighbor and say, "You're a temple." Don't you know that your bodies are temples? Some of you didn't know that that phrase, taking care of the temple, comes from the Bible. You go to the gym, taking care of the temple. That comes from the Bible. Your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you receive from God. Don't you know that? You know that, right? You know that inside of you is divinity. Christ's Spirit takes up residency because of the blood. When you have faith in Jesus, everything changes. There's power in His blood. Everybody say, "There's power in His blood." Romans 5 says this. I'm gonna read it over you. "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ, who died for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now, we can rejoice in the wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God." Romans 5, 6 through 11. The mystery of the gospel unpacked. Ephesians 2, "But now you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you're far away, but now you've been brought near," here it is again, "through the blood of Jesus." There is power in the blood. He shed His blood just before He breathed His last breath. He said, "It is finished. I have paid the debt. I have paid the price. I've created something beautiful. It is finished. My body has become the curtain. It's been torn. Now people have access." And the same precious blood that has been sprinkled on the mercy seat, listen, has been applied to your life. When you have Christ, look at me, you don't have to worry. He's with you. You don't have to worry. He's within you. Where can I go to escape the love of Christ? Height, nor depth, nor valley, nor ocean. Where can I go to the other side of the moon to escape the love of Christ? No! He goes with you because he's made a temple to reside inside of you. Don't you know? You are not by yourself. So lift your head up. Put your shoulders back, daughters of God. Put your shoulders back, sons of God. Know who you are in him. Because of the blood of Jesus, he has given you full access, and the red/orange tape has been cut. Have a friend who was an FBI weapons of mass destruction. Oh, a little string for my new shirt. Weapons of mass destruction special agent. He's getting ready to retire. He's working the Alabama game. He said, "Pastor Tim, come down to the Alabama game. I'm working the Alabama game." Now, he had this device where he's trying to pick up dirty bomb indicators. So, nuclear activity. He's walking around. Keep us safe. This was several years ago when tensions were, well, I don't know if they're any higher than they are now. Never mind. When it was, and he's walking around. He said, text me, whatever. I get down there. And he's just walking around with this device, whatever. And he gets a ding. Every time he walks by a 10, he gets a ding. So he's walking around. Now he's in plain clothes, kind of low profile. And so the guy that, I don't know how it works down there. I think you got to spend some money to get one of those tents and the whole party deal. So he's flipping the bill. So the check writer walks out there and says, "Hey, I see you walking around here. What's up?" He said, "Well, I'm special agent, blah, 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 FBI. Number two, every time I walk by this tent, I get a indicator. There's something in the area." He said, "Oh, I bet I know what it is." He said, "What?" He said, "My wife's going through chemotherapy. You're probably picking up her. So he says, "Go get her." Sure enough, she lit the thing up. He said, "All right, we're good." He said, "Hey, Pastor Tim, find me and I'll get you in." Okay. So I get in a little FBI golf cart. When you're the FBI, man, people move out of the way for you. You ever seen those guys down there? All kind of, I mean, 150,000 people emerge on that place. People are getting out of the way. We go to the gate. Stretch, oh, he's with me. He's with me. I just got right in. I got right in. You know why? Because I was with him. I got right in because I was with him. I went wherever he could go, most places. I'm sure there's places I couldn't go. He didn't take me there. Wherever, if I was with him, I'd full access. Come on. When Christ is in you, the tape has been cut. You have full access. Why? Because the blood, the powerful, beautiful, precious blood of Jesus has been shed, and it is finished. It is finished. He made a way for you to enter in. So, worship him like you're a temple. Live like you're a temple. Have intimacy with him like he's there. He's given you access. Number two, write this down. Jesus gives me a direct line. He made a way for me to receive God's direction. How many have ever wondered this? What am I supposed to do now? Anyone ever had that question? Ever had that thought? What am I supposed to do now? Well, I'm glad you asked. John 16 says this, verse 12. Jesus is talking, and he says this, "I have much more to tell you, but now it would be too much for you to bear." Just pause a moment to feel this. He's talking to his guys. There's some things I'd love to share with you, but the timing's not right. it would overwhelm you. When, however, the Spirit comes, oh, what's this all about? When the Spirit comes, who reveals the truth about God, he will lead you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak on what he hears and will tell you of things to come. Oh, really? Yes. Jesus gives you a direct line. The Holy Spirit now resides in me. When you have faith and you follow commands, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. How many know that is a loaded sentence with all kinds of ramifications? Believe on the person, work, teaching, life of Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The Holy Spirit now resides in you. He lives inside of me. Because of the residency, listen, I can have intimacy. Because of the residency, I can have intimacy. Because of the intimacy, I got a direct line. I got a direct line. John 16, 12 and 13 tells us Jesus built a foundation. He had much more to tell us. He says that it's going to be too overwhelming for you now. But here's what I'm going to do. The Spirit's going to come. The Holy Spirit's going to come. The Spirit of Christ is going to come. I won't be with you always physically. But when I leave, you will not be by yourself because I will send another one, a comforter, who will be with you always. So four things from John 16 that's revealed to us about the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit reveals the truth about God. According to Scripture, I much want to tell you, but now it would be too much for you to bear. However, when the Spirit comes, who reveals the truth about God? The Holy Spirit reveals the truth about God. You want to know the truth? Learn to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and he will reveal truth about God. How many, I think if we thought for a moment, we could identify real quickly with what Jesus said to the disciples. Hey, there's so much I want to tell you. It'd be too much for you to bear, but the Holy Spirit's going to come, so there's more to download. And you think, well, why don't you just tell them? Here's a question for us. If you've been serving the Lord for a few little whiles, if you would have known, if you would have been told then, when you first got saved, what you know now, you would have been like, oh man, I don't know if I can handle all that. Think of all that you've been through. Think of the trials, the tribulations, the battles that you have fought, and through tears and bruised knees have won through the trials and tribulations, and you have seen the faithfulness of God through the highs and the lows. You have seen him, and you go, oh, I kind of get it now. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal the truth about God, and it appears to me that it's a lifelong revelation. You tell me when you stop learning something about God, and I'll tell you how long that lasts. Esther, how long? For 90-something years, sister. The truth, he revealed, number two, he will lead you into all truth. There are false spirits. There are false spirits who lead you into not truth, who lead you into lies. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. Number three, what do we learn about the Holy Spirit? He will not talk on his own. He will not reveal things. He will not communicate on his own. He will relay what he hears from the Father. God is not fragmented. The Lord God is one. Number four, he will reveal things that will happen in the future. Oh, I'm just reading the scripture. He will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak of what he hears and will tell you of things to come. Oh, really? Every person that claims to tell you the future apart from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is working in dark spirits. The Holy Spirit will reveal what is to come. You should not call 1-800-READ-MY-FUTURE. You should not read the horoscopes. You should not read books and articles apart from Holy Spirit inspired. Now, you got to be careful because that word is used very flippantly in the occult. And if you are not grounded in the scripture, so look, what's the Holy Spirit say? Only what is revealed from the Father. Oh, yes. So therefore, everything that doesn't come from his spirit comes from another spirit, and I don't want that spirit. That is not your friend. That is not your friend. Oh, pastor, you don't know. Take the top off. It works a little better. Stop laughing. Number three. You don't know. Man, I've had that lady down at the Palm thing down at Orange Beach. Man, she told me all about my family and all about yada, 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 yada. Here's a question. First of all, a lot of it was probably really good questions and interactions. But beside that, where do you think she knew that? Not from the Holy Spirit. Be careful. God gives me a direct line. I go straight to him. I can ask him. Because of Jesus, I can ask him. All of this will give you direction from your life. I don't have to wander. I have to wonder. I can have clear purpose. clear direction. Confidence. That means I'm on assignment. I've got a divine purpose. I've got a direct access. I don't have to be lost. My life is a supernatural adventure. I'm on mission, and I'm here from the commander himself. I'm on assignment. The Holy Spirit directs my life. Now, some of y'all wouldn't know this, but there was a day when if you needed to figure out how to go from here to Florida, you went down to the gas station and bought this big old piece of paper. And you maybe see your granddad. He had it on the dashboard. Maybe grandma's like, all right, well, it looks like we're just going to be an intersection. And then it's called a map. Anybody seen a map? It's a paper version of this, right? So that back when they had maps, you had to guess and wonder. Now you can open up your phone. GPS will tell you 300 feet. As a matter of fact, sometimes I'm like, can you just shut up and I got it. Like 400 feet, take the right lane, take the right lane, take the right lane, take the... Someone switched my phone to something. It was like in like Swahili or I don't know. I'm like, I don't know. I need Angelique Legat down here. Language was changed. So Back up to 91, 19, my military unit was activated for support of Desert Storm. I'm at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, preparing for the conflict. We had a nighttime combat equipment jump. It was an airborne unit, and I didn't make the stick, so I got to drive the truck to go pick up the troops at the drop zone. It's at night. I'm driving a big old deuce and a half. You ever seen those deuce and a half? It's a big old 6x6, right? 2.5 ton. Blah, 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 blah. You have to shift. You have to have like Ronnie Como's shoulders just to move that thing from first to second gear. Man, it's a big old truck. You can fit like 30 troops in the back. Blah, blah, blah. Mills, come with Potier, and you go pick us up at the drop zone. It's going to be about 01, whatever. Come be there early. Pick us up. Find us, right? So I'm like, all right. I don't have a cell phone. I don't have maps of Fort Bragg that I had access to. Go down to the Air Force deal, and they'll tell you, it's just go down, take a whatever, gave directions. So I'm going, driving this big old truck, and you go, we're driving, and like, you can't miss it, it's on the left. So I'm like, well, let's look for a 2-mile by 1-mile piece of property. They don't have no trees on it. The problem was it was night. And also, I'm like directionally impaired. You could take my father, blindfold him, drive him around for an hour, take him to a basement, spin him around till he's dizzy, take the blindfold off, and he could point north. I don't have that. I don't even trust a compass. I'm like, this thing's wrong. So I'm driving. Long story short, I can't find it. I don't know. Now I'm getting a little nervous. Because I got a 2.5-ton truck. Here comes a special force. I'm driving this truck. And I'm back and forth. How many know when you do a couple U-turns, all bets are off? Bro, you have no. It's done. You ever been to the back of Fort Bragg, North Carolina? It's noise and light discipline. There's no lights. There's nothing, man. I don't know. I still know how this happened. I rolled up into a, God is my witness, a residential neighborhood on a cul-de-sac. And that thing, don't have no power steering. I had to do a 3-point turn at 12:30 in the morning in a neighborhood cul-de-sac with a 2.5 truck. I'm thinking, oh, they're going to report it stolen. The MPs are going to find us. I'm nervous, man. I'm sweating. I'm just like an E3, nobody, E4. No, I didn't have any rank. I'm just a low guy. I'm like, oh, we are going to jail. Wherever people steal these things go, we're going. Well, after a couple stops at the Air Force gate, I finally got there about an hour late. Like, Mills, where were you? I'm like, it ran out of gas. I mean, y'all didn't put no gas. I didn't want to tell them. I drove into, Carrington. Thing weighed over 13,000 pounds. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he'll show you the right way. Because of Jesus, I have direct access. The Holy Spirit resides inside of me. Cultivate a relationship with the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit like he is there. When you read in the Bible, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit, capital S, or the Spirit of Christ, same person. Jesus sent his Spirit to us in order to build residency inside of us. Talk to who you live with. Ask him, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do about this? Here's a thought. How about wake up tomorrow morning and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. What do you want me to do today? Expect God to speak. When you open Scripture, say, Holy Spirit, reveal all the truth about God when I read this. You can't even see the kingdom unless you are first born again. God, reveal. Holy Spirit, reveal. God, show me things. Help my mind to slow down and see what you're saying. Remember, Scripture always means what it always meant. It never means what it never meant. So the meaning's not going to change, but the application probably will, because it's been a couple years since this thing's written. God, show me. Pull the curtain back. Show me who you are. Give me divine revelation, Holy Spirit. And then, here's a thought, write it down. You will find if you do those things, listen, in my experience, God will help you fine-tune the frequency. You will become more aware of the person and work of the Holy Spirit when you interact with Him through Scripture, through worship, through prayer, talking to Him, asking Him. One way to build a really good communication is take one step of faith, act of obedience, as best you sense the direction of the Lord. He will never tell you anything that's not scriptural. He will never tell you to do something contrary to this. But you want to fine-tune that? You want to fine-tune that? Take one step and see what happens. You will find that we're learning His voice. And you will never grow in that until you begin to act on that. And I've learned so much. Hindsight, who's with me? You look back and go, oh, that's what that was. Oh, next time I'll know. Oh, that was that. That was. Thank you, Jesus, that you are patient with us. Number three, Jesus connects me to the power source. He made a way for me to have power. Today, some of you are getting baptized. Some of your children who are with our kids ministry are getting baptized. There is a connection to the power of God through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. You want to have divine power in your life. First, be born again. Surrender your life to Jesus. Worship team, come. Surrender your life to Jesus and begin to get to know the person and work of the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you power. I am no longer weak. Because of Jesus, I'm no longer weak. I'm no longer weak. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, say, you're no longer weak. You're not subject. You're not helpless. Remember, Christianity, following Christ, is not behavior modification. It's supernatural transformation. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, according to Scripture, is alive in believers. And by faith, that's you, is alive in you. If you're a follower of Christ, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, listen, is alive in you. Here's what I've learned. I can feel defeated. That don't mean I am defeated. I can feel helpless. That don't mean I am helpless. Your emotions are going to do this. Here's what I learned. The more mature we become, the more consistent we can become in our emotions. But even when they are not, we are not subject to the highs and lows. That I can trust the Lord, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death's all around me, it's dark. I'll fear no evil. It's your rod and your staff that comfort me. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house. God is with you. He gives you access to power. For 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for the spirit of that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, his spirit fills us with power, love, and self-discipline. You see? Power, he's given you power. Three things about this scripture that we notice. God has given us his spirit. Hallelujah to Jesus. You're not alone. When you surrender to Christ, whether you know all this or not, it's a reality. It's happened. It's happening. God has given you a spirit. And that spirit is not a spirit of timidity. You're not backing down. Come hell or high water, you're not backing down. Because he is so great. His spirit fills us. He's a spirit of truth. He brings with him, all of his characteristics with power, love, and self-control. His spirit fills us with love. When you are born again, love fills the house. Love fills the house. Learn how to cultivate that atmosphere. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just love Jesus. Just, Jesus, I just love you. I just love you, God. Oh, God, I just love you. I just love you. I love you, God. Oh, teach me how to love. Teach me how to love. His spirit fills it with self-control. I'm not out of control. No matter what it feels like, you don't have to live out of control. If there are areas in your life, I don't mean that you're frazzled and busy. Let's make sure we understand the difference. That if there are areas that feel out of control, recognize that and say, Holy Spirit, you said self-control. I submit this to you. Bring it to order. You will. Love, self-control. You are not powerless against sin. You are not bound by the power of sin. You are not controlled. You're free. Galatians 5:16, but I say walk by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of your flesh. The New Living Translation says that scripture just like this. So I say let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. There's a craving? Apparently. Yeah. But I'm not subject to that. Here's the beauty. You don't have to fight the power of sin alone. Does that mean if you read this scripture and you get baptized and you commit your life to Christ that you will never sin again? It does not mean that. What it means is that when Christ has residency, you are not bound by the vicious cycle of the enemy. He has given you power. difference between being born again and not being born again, as a follower of Christ, will repent. Someone who doesn't follow Christ might celebrate. You see, the difference is dramatic. He will give you power. Love, self-control, power. Wherever the Holy Spirit goes, He brings power. I want you to think about this for a moment. We're closing. Check this out. Look this way. The Spirit of Christ alive in you, there is power there. I don't know the right way to say it exactly, but I think you know what I mean. When we might say or think something like this, wow, that's a powerful woman of God. That's a powerful man of God. Okay? Question. Are they powerful? Or is the Holy Spirit inside of them powerful? It's because He lives inside of you, I think the answer is yes. I think it's yes. I think when He resides and there's a relationship cultivated, what happens is His characteristics begin to work their way to the outside. And you begin to walk in more power, more anointing, more authority. Why? Because you cultivated that relationship. Because God wants to demonstrate His power on the earth. And He happens to choose almost every time to work through His people. Are you hungry for that? Are you hungry for that? Are you hungry for that? Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that's at work within us. Acts 1:8, but you will receive, say it with me, power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. This is not supernatural. This is not symbolic power. This is not a title for title's sake. This is supernatural empowerment for the glorification of the Son of God on the earth. What does that have to do with me? God wants to work that through you. And you need to be baptized with His Holy Spirit. But you will receive power. A telephone with no charge on it. Who's ever done that? Down to 2%, down to 1%, I'm about to go. A phone with no charge has no power. It has potential. You know, if I can... So we had a thing one time. We were following this thing on the road. And the cable wasn't working right. And we thought it was. And it was enough to get an image. But it wasn't... I don't know how... It wasn't given... It wasn't charging. And the thing goes black, goes dead. We're like, we don't know where to go. We don't know where we are, what state we're in, what country we're in. It has potential to help you, but it's not until it is connected to the source of power that it reaches its potential. You have potential in Christ, and when you cultivate a relationship with the person and work of Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, now you have power to realize that potential. The Holy Spirit is your friend. Would you stand up on your feet all over the place? It is finished. Jesus said, I want to give that a new twist. It's finished. Now it has begun. Because it is finished, it has begun. Because he finished his work, he did everything he had to do, he needed to do, that was for your good, he did the work, now it has begun. The question is, do I want to go along with the ride? The question for you is, are you in? Are you in? Are you in? How do you know if you're in? You know if you're in if you've surrendered to Christ. How do I know if I'm born again? I'm surrendered. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. With everybody just looking around. I want you to be in. I want you to walk in power. I want to walk in power. I need your help. I think you need my help, and I know I need your help, and I think you need the help of the person next to you on either side. That's kind of how it works. Are you in? When you're in, you're connected to the source. You're connected. You are connected to the source. He's cut the red tape. I've got a way I can have intimacy. I've got a direct line. I don't need to call the priest or the pastor to go to God. I can go straight away. Is it good that we agree in prayer? You better believe it. Is it good that you have people praying for you about something? You better believe it. But do I need someone to do that for me? What I would say is you might need someone to do that with you. I think that's the right way to say it, because you have access. That's the powerful blood of Jesus. That's really good news. And you are connected to the source of power. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Would you close your eyes and just begin to worship him for a second? The cross was enough. His blood still works. Blood still works. Jesus. Yeah. Let's sing this together. Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. There's just something about
walked in the door, not surrendered to Christ, and you say, that's me, today's my day of surrender, I'm in, when I came, I wasn't, maybe you'd call yourself a Christian, you just haven't been acting like one, or maybe you're so far from God, and you need to come home. If that's you, I just want you to lift your hands right now and begin to praise him. Say, Father, I'm coming home. If that's you, just begin to say, I'm coming home. 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 If you're here today, I'm going to ask you in just a moment to come out of your seat. You say, hey, Pastor, you mentioned something about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to belabor the point, but you would say, hey, I need some power in my life. I would like baptism of the Holy Spirit to be a reality in my life, what I'm going to do is I'm going to simply pray with you, lay my hands on you. You're going to invite Jesus to immerse you, to cover you with His Holy Spirit, and you're going to receive power. 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 How many could use some real power? I'm preaching my guts out. Somebody with me, come on. Yeah. The Bible says to be being filled. So that means I just need to walk in that. I heard someone say one time, this really helped me when I was younger. I need to be being filled because I leak sometimes. I'm like, that's good. I feel like, oh, he's talking to me. I kind of leak sometimes. Say, Pastor, before we dismiss, would you pray with me? I want to receive that power in my life. I want you to come right now. Come right now. We're just going to simply lay hands on you. I need some Holy Spirit power. And everybody looking around, I like that. Yeah, come on, man. Come on. And if people come out, I just want you to come and come bring a friend with you. Carrie, come on, brother. Say, I love that. I like that. How many would say, I need to be refreshed and renewed. I need a refilling. That's you. Just come on. Just come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Some prayer leaders, ladies, stand with these ladies, some men. Carrie, if you'll come. Zach, if you'll come. Casey, you'll come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Acts 1:8, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the most parts of the world. The purpose of the power is for gifted service. To advance the kingdom, to glorify God. You receive power. Now the Bible in Acts talks about, and they spoke in tongues. Maybe you've heard that before. It was a physical manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it appears in Scripture that that was the first manifestation, that it was initial, it was first. They spoke in other tongues. You don't have to be a weirdo. You just got to receive. And here's what I've learned about that very interesting thing, speaking in tongues, is that it seems to reside, and I've got to cooperate. So you may have syllables that don't make sense to you. It may be that God's given you new language. So by faith, just speak those out. By faith, just speak those out. Jamie, if you'll come help me. Stretch your hands. We're just going to reach forward and pray on these things.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.